every day, Mass is celebrated at St. Dominic's Chapel at the Chancery Offices of the Archdiocese of Atlanta. The following is a recording of today's readings and homily from a previous year.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. After the crippled man had been cured, while Peter and John were still speaking to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple guard, and the Sadducees confronted them, disturbed that they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They laid hands on Peter and John and put them in custody until the next day, since it was already evening. But many of those who heard the word came to believe, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. On the next day, their leaders, elders, and scribes were assembled in Jerusalem with Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly class. They brought them into their presence and questioned them, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, answered them, "Leaders of the people and elders, if we are being examined today about a good deed done to a cripple, namely, by what means he was saved, then all of you and all the people of Israel should know that it was in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. In his name, this man stands before you healed. He is the stone rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. There is no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are all to be saved." The word of the Lord. The stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Israel say, "His mercy endures forever." Let those who fear the Lord say, "His mercy endures forever." The stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone. The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done. It is wonderful in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. The stone the builders has become the cornerstone. O Lord, grant salvation. O Lord, grant prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. The stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Together were Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We also will come with you." So they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. When it was already dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered him, "No." So he said to them, "Cast the net over the right side of the boat, and you will find something." So they cast it, and were not able to pull it in because of the number of fish. So the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tucked in his garment, for he was lightly clad, and jumped into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, for they were not far from shore, only about 100 yards, dragging the net with the fish. When they climbed out on shore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you just caught." So Simon Peter went over and dragged the net ashore full of 153 large fish. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come, have breakfast." And none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they realized it was the Lord. Jesus came over and took the bread and gave it to them, and in a like manner the fish. This was now the third time Jesus was revealed to his disciples after being raised from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Our Gospel today has one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture, John 21:12. And Jesus said, "Come have breakfast." Breakfast is the best meal of the day, right? Have you noticed in our first readings, in which we've been hearing the preaching of the apostles in those first days of the church after Pentecost, how direct their preaching is, how bold, how blunt their preaching is? They have no hesitation rubbing the noses of the scribes and the Pharisees in the deicide that they have committed by putting the Lord Jesus to death. They're constantly saying, "You put Christ to death. You crucified Jesus. This man who you put to death, God has raised up." We hear some of that same boldness in the excerpt that we have today from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4. It said, "Then all of you should know that this healing has been effected in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified and whom God raised from the dead." They're not bashful at all about proclaiming the truth as they see it, proclaiming, telling forth the facts as they happened. And then they go on with even greater boldness, particularly sort of if we look at it from our perspective today, in which we're so politically correct, we're so inclined to adhere to the two great commandments of our own time, you know, tolerance and non-judgmentalism. Rather, Peter says, "There is no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved." Boldly proclaiming the unicity of Christ, that salvation comes through him and through him alone. The preaching that we're hearing in the earliest days is that powerful preaching that catapulted the church from this small band of apostles into a worldwide religion, a worldwide community, a worldwide family. I recently heard of an Anglican bishop who was lamenting the state of preaching in our own time, in our own day. He said that, you know, when the apostles preached, like we heard in our gospel today, they threw them in prison. They beat them. They brought them before trial. Riots broke out. He said, "But when I preach, they serve me tea." What a contrast. What a contrast. We see another contrast in our readings today in that in our gospel, we see the apostles seeming very timid and very uncertain of themselves. The beginning, it sounds like they're just standing around, not sure what to do. And so Simon Peter says, let's go fish. Let's go fish. We might interpret it as them deciding maybe we just go back to our old way of life. Maybe we would just resume what we were doing before this Jesus of Nazareth came in and turned our lives upside down. So they go and they fish, and Jesus ultimately appears to them and instructs them to cast the net over the other side, and they catch this great multitude of fish, but still there's a certain hesitancy there. John whispers to Peter, "It is the Lord." And then they come to the shore, and again, it still sounds like they're pretty sure it's Jesus, but maybe they're not totally sure. It says they don't ask him. They don't ask him directly, are you Jesus? Because they were pretty sure it was him, but they're not quite sure. What strikes me in this reading today is this still as yet uncertainty, hesitancy amongst the apostles. What are we to do? Is this in fact Jesus that we're witnessing? And for me, it draws out the contrast because here in our gospel, it's prior to Pentecost. It's before Jesus has ascended to the Father and poured out the Holy Spirit upon the church. In our first reading that we heard today and that we've been hearing all this week, it's right after Pentecost. It's right after the Father has poured out on the church the gift of his Holy Spirit. Before Pentecost, there's this uncertainty, this hesitancy. After Pentecost, there's this boldness and directness, this zeal that has filled the church. During these first days of the Easter season, it might inspire, perhaps it ought to inspire a prayer in us that we might recapture that same zeal of the early church. That as we move through this Easter season, which is going to ultimately culminate in the celebration of Pentecost, that it's a time in which we are praying again for that same outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the church. That we even find ourselves in our own time hesitant, uncertain. Should we speak out? Should we, live our Catholic values and faith out loud? Should we profess them in the public square? We're all concerned about being called out or persecuted or canceled or whatever. Maybe we need to be praying for the new outpouring of the Holy Spirit so that that same zeal and courage and boldness of the apostles might animate the church, animate her preachers, and animate every member of the faithful so that we might make Jesus known, the one through whom we are saved, the one name by which salvation is granted to the world. We have several days of the Easter season ahead of us, but maybe we can think of it as a time of growing desire for this fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit so that when we arrive at the end of the Easter season, we're ready for that gift of God's grace, the gift of the third person of the Holy Trinity to set our hearts on fire as it set the hearts on fire of Peter and John and those other apostles. That with that same boldness, we might proclaim the Lord Jesus as risen and as the Savior of the world.
The preceding podcast is a production of the Roman Catholic Archdiocese of Atlanta. Copyright 2024.